Is outsourced aircraft maintenance as dangerous as Consumer Reports claims? I'm Paul Platt, and this is Aero News. Consumer Reports' March issue will bring public attention to an issue that's been concerning FAA inspectors for some time now, the increasing outsourcing of maintenance to offshore facilities by the airlines. Consumer Reports says that while airlines are increasing their reliance on overseas maintenance facilities, which are subject to less oversight and fewer inspections, the FAA is reducing the actual number of inspections of repair facilities and airline oversight in general, causing the margin of safety to decrease as airlines contract out more than half of their maintenance work now. The article highlights that domestic and foreign repair stations are relying on staff that's not licensed and does not undergo security screenings. Also emphasized is the FAA's growing reliance on statistical-based analysis rather than physical inspections of repair facilities. The magazine says that all this is happening while the FAA allows the number of safety inspectors to decline through attrition. Professional Airway System Specialists represents more than 11,000 employees of the Federal Aviation Administration and the Department of Defense who install, maintain, support, and certify air traffic control and national defense equipment, inspect and oversee the commercial and general aviation industries, develop flight procedures, and perform quality analyses of the aviation systems. And Tom Brantley is the national president of PASS. Tom, this issue is not new, but the industry still has an excellent safety record, and this story never has really gotten traction in Congress. Do you expect that to change now, especially now that Consumer Reports is covering the story?
Yes, we are actually very hopeful that with the change in leadership in Congress, that they'll be more receptive to fixing some of the things we see. And while you're right, this has come up over the years. The idea that it's not a problem, it's a false sense of security. There's a margin of safety that over the last decade or so has been steadily eroding, and now it's become very, very thin. You know, our inspectors are telling us every day that they spend more and more time in the office and less time actually doing inspections. And that is the heart of the problem, that with the agency essentially turning responsibility for the oversight over to the industry, whether it's a repair facility or an airline or whatever, you know, they're abdicating their responsibility. And by the time it becomes the kind of problem that is visibly there, meaning that, you know, planes are falling out of the sky, by the time you get there, it is so much harder and so much more expensive to fix it. And the cost, not just in money, but in lives, is phenomenal. And you know, in our discussions with the new leadership, they have been receptive. And I know Chairman Costello has agreed to hold a safety hearing sometime this year to try to bring some of these issues to light and try to address them.
Tom, some see this debate as just one of those emerging global economy stories. Mary Peters at the Department of Transportation resumed talks on Tuesday with the Europeans on the Open Skies Treaty, and that could include foreign airlines being allowed to come here and operate point-to-point in the U.S. To what extent did just plain economics force U.S. airlines to outsource some of this work just to remain competitive?
Well, I think the answer, the short answer is yes, it is about economics, but it's much more complex. The idea that they can't compete is because they're not competing on a level playing field. If the foreign repair stations, you know, number one, if they were required to meet the same standards as the certificated repair stations we have in this country, that would take the cost up. You know, some things like labor costs are going to be less in other countries. That's a fact of life. I think if the other countries were required to meet the same regulatory requirements, many of them would just not be in business because it would be too difficult for them to accomplish that, quite frankly. So, you know, I think some of it, it's easy to say economics, but, you know, I think a lot of it is just that because things have seemed safe for so long, it's easy to get complacent and to think it's not a problem. You know, we believe it's a problem and that our job is to find any potential issues before they become accidents. And unfortunately, it's kind of going the other way where, you know, within the industry and within the FAA, the idea is to just keep skimping and cutting corners until there's a problem or an accident, and then we'll just back it up a notch. but I think the public expects a little bit more.
Tom, these foreign repair facilities are supposed to require FAA certification to work on planes flown by U.S. airlines. Can't the FAA just threaten revocation if they don't tighten security or allow our inspectors the access they need to do their jobs?
Well, in theory, yes. The answer is yes, but in reality, it's not something that's going to happen because, as Keith was explaining earlier, that just what's required to come in and do an inspection many times is such a logistical nightmare, for the inspector. But it also allows the facility to put its best foot forward and make sure that anything that is seen when the inspector is there is going to meet the requirements. So, you know, it's very easy to look spotless when you've got several months' notice, that you have to invite someone in, and they have to basically go where you take them. So it's very different than having the ability, like they do here, to go in unannounced if they think there's a problem or just to see what's going on, but go into a facility and look things over.
Our guest on this ANN special feature is Tom Brantley, National President of Professional Airway System Specialists. They represent the FAA repair facility inspectors, among others. We're talking about the Consumer Reports story, drawing attention to outsourcing of maintenance by U.S. airlines. And we'll be back with more. This AeroCast is brought to you by Aircraft Engine Services, makers of the aluminum V220 and V300T engines.
How smart is the engine in your aircraft? Automotive engineering has advanced so much over the past 30 years that you almost never have to raise the hood. Why can't an airplane engine be just as smart and just as reliable? Now it can. Check out the new V220 and V300T from Aircraft Engine Services and their state-of-the-art engine management system. Both the V220 and the V300T feature a fully redundant and certified engine management system that controls all engine operation parameters. This EMS includes a true FADEC that manages propeller pitch and other elements of engine operation not usually controlled by the EMS in piston aircraft engines. The EMS automatically provides an optimum fuel mix by constantly measuring the manifold pressure, ambient pressure, engine speed, and throttle positioning, and calculating the appropriate fuel injection timing for each cycle and cylinder. The AES V220 and V300T, as simple as a car's engine, but oh, so much more fun to drive. Check us out on the web at theaircraftengine.com or call us at 321-268-3718. Aircraft Engine Services, the shape of things to come.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and known ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design for a number of reasons. Clarity Aloft headsets are known for the superior clarity of sound. They're lightweight but rugged enough to meet military specifications. Best of all, they boast better noise reduction than ANR in the speech frequencies that matter most to you. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
Welcome back to this Aero News special feature. I'm Paul Flagg. I'm talking with Tom Brantley, the National President of Professional Airway System Specialists. Among his organization's members are FAA repair facility inspectors. We're talking about a story in the March issue of Consumer Reports that's critical of the outsourcing of aircraft maintenance by U.S. facilities. Tom, let me ask you a couple of specific questions before we close here. Is the declining safety margin you talk about as being brought on by outsourcing, is that just a problem with foreign shops, or do domestic maintenance subcontractors have some of those same issues?
The same issues are happening with domestic maintenance shops that are not certificated. I think it's just more widespread overseas. I think a greater majority of overseas repair facilities are not certificated.
Tom, you said the FAA inspectors complain that they're having to spend more time in the office and less time actually doing inspections of facilities. What's causing that, and what would it take to fix it?
Well, the biggest cause is it's kind of twofold. One is the agency's self-perpetuated budget problem. So part of the problem is the agency doesn't have the money to send them where they need to go. But another big part of it is the agency's kind of philosophical change to relying almost exclusively on data analysis for oversight, rather than verifying that with actual physical inspections.
For our listeners who don't know what that process involves, tell us a little bit about that, because it sounds like waiting for things to go wrong and then analyzing them.
It's actually even a little bit more meaningless than that. Whether it's a repair station, an airline, a flight school, whatever, they are required to report certain things. They're required to, have programs in place to maintain the safety of what they're doing.
Right.
They're also required to report to the agency periodically on that. So what the agency is doing is using the data that's reported to them. You know, the data is only as good as what the facilities are willing to send in.
So it's kind of like letting students do their own grades.
It's very much like that. I'll borrow that. Thank you.
Well, Tom, there seems to be a general move underway in the federal government, not just in the FAA, to walk away from some of its traditional regulatory role in aviation, based on the premise, I guess, that the airlines have an overwhelming economic incentive to be safe. Are we going too far in that direction?
Well, I believe so, because I believe we're going too far because... Well, it would be easy to say it's working because right now we're in a pretty safe stretch of time here. The margin that we're working on, it used to be pretty wide, and now it's very thin, I believe. And what we're going to see is if these problems manifest as, accidents or incidents, we won't just see one. It'll be a rash because we'll be at a systemic point where the problem is so widespread that it'll be almost impossible to just fix it quickly. You know, I understand the desire, the philosophy behind making government smaller and getting out of people's way. I think one of the fundamental roles of government is to make sure that as the free market moves forward, it doesn't do so at the expense of the people. And that's what I see this as, is just making sure that in conducting business to make a profit, that everything is done above board and it's done with the safety of the consumer in mind.
One of the big stories for our readers and listeners right now, Tom, is the Bush administration's proposal to move toward user fee funding of the FAA. And that proposal would turn control of the air traffic system over to a board run primarily by the airline industry. Does PASS have a position in that debate?
Well, again, I think because the fundamental role of the FAA is, as you were saying, it's the regulation and oversight of the industry. And I think that distance needs to be maintained. I think all of the scenarios I've seen where they would keep some regulatory body in theory and essentially turn the operation over to private industry, whether it's a corporation or privately owned, whatever. Once you start going strictly on a bottom line basis for the things you do, I think it goes downhill from there. I mean, quite frankly, while they may not admit it publicly, an airline, they'll do some analysis. There's an acceptable risk. Their goal is not that 100% of the time they'll do whatever it takes to make sure every plane takes off and lands. For them, there's an acceptable level of risk in what they do. I think that's probably true in everything. I think in a role such as the FAA has with oversight, they should err on the side of caution rather than the bottom line.
Tom, I have to congratulate you because I sense that you're sincerely concerned by this, and it's not often you get an entity as influential as Consumer Reports helping you get your story out. I have one more question, and it's going to stray off the topic a little bit, but I think you're the guy to ask. If I understand correctly, your members will have a significant role in any modernization that's done to the air traffic control infrastructure. Without getting into any specifics, does the FAA even know yet what it wants that new system to look like?
Well, that's a very good question. I think... 5 years ago, I could have said yes. Whether I agreed with that view or not, I could have said yes, that they do. Today, I don't believe so. I think, again, because of a lot of the budgetary decisions that have been made within the administration, not necessarily the FAA, they've kind of put everything on hold, and I think they're waiting on the whole user fee and privatization or corporatization issue to be resolved before any more money is put into things. So right now, it's kind of more like a caretaker philosophy.
One of the big criticisms in the press lately has been, how can you ask for X billions of dollars without really any structured idea how to spend it?
There's no good answer for that, okay. Which is exactly what you're getting.
Well, Tom, I know this has turned out to be a crazy week for you. I appreciate your taking a few minutes out to inform our listeners here on Aero News Network.
Well, thank you.
My guest has been Tom Brantley, National President of Professional Airway System Specialists. You've been listening to an Aero News special feature. On the web, you'll find us at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.